Michael J. Show.
Cause you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. Cause you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. Or when you can't, you won't, and you don't stop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode 112 from Guyana, Brazil, with my man, Dean Thomas.
Oh, hey, is this really episode 112?
112, man.
Man, I feel like, you know, like 112, that was the group back in there when that thing came out, 112, Peaches and Cream.
I do.
Oh, man, I'm just glad this ain't room 112, because then that would be weird.
Is that your prom song?
That was my, that came out after I got out of high school. That was in like the late 90s, wasn't it? Late 90s, early 2000s?
Drop a little.
Peaches and cream. Peaches and cream. I can't say the words, but you know what I'm saying? But that was my song back in the day, though. That was, you know, I used to get down to that.
Man,
listen, I'm excited to be on the Dolce Show. Me and you've been talking about getting something together for a long time. And, you know, you too big time now for me. You know, you don't come around no more. You don't come around the hood no more. But I've been lucky enough to get on with Mike Dolce. This is exciting for me, man. I'm excited about this.
I'm pumped up. Yeah. And for anybody who doesn't know who Dean Thomas, go fuck yourself, because Dean Thomas is the man. You are the first UFC fighter under the American Top Team banner, the legendary American Top Team banner. What was your first UFC fight?
Well, you know what? This is great, because like my first UFC fight was actually against BJ Penn.
Holy shit.
Yes, it was June 21st, 2001.
June 21st, 2001.
I'll never forget the date, because that was the worst day of my life. I got knocked out. And that was like when the UFC first came back on TV, and I got knocked. I was so excited too, man. Like, that was a big deal for me, because like, it was in the Meadowlands. We was hanging out in New York.
Yep.
And Dennis Rodman was there. You know, the spokesperson was Carmen Electra. She still had a tag. She still had a tag on the dress too. So I was like, I was excited. We was in the pre-fight press conference, and like, I was like, yeah, man, this is my opportunity. I was gonna knock BJ's head off, and somehow,
a
jiu-jitsu guy kneed me in the face and knocked me out. And I never forget the date, because it inspired me. It motivated me to be who I am today. And that's on the Mike Dolce Show today.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Looking back, and I pulled up your Sherdog profile.
Okay.
While we're on, just to give a little history. For those listening, I know that listeners of the Mike Dolce Show, you guys are fucking awesome. So I'm not talking to you, but a lot of other people out there that we call them the post-tough newbies, who didn't really start following the MMA scene until after The Ultimate Fighter came out. And that's okay. We love you all too. But Mr. Dean Thomas, your first pro fight was October 28th, 1998.
98.
Against Thomas Velasquez. Now, most of you people listening, half of you, well, shit, you were in diapers in 1998.
I know, it's like, you know, like, what's Mursab Bektik wasn't even born.
He wasn't even born, man.
You know, we out here, but yeah, 1998, man, those were the days when, you know, we was doing it on our own.
And you were, on your own, let's talk a little about that. How did you first start training? I'm looking at some of the names on your resume. Damn, man, you fought some of the best and beat the best. But let's take it all the way back, 1998, little Dean Thomas with your high-top kid-and-play fade.
High-top fade.
Pop-locking on the fucking cardboard cutouts in front of, you know, the five-and-dime store. Where's hometown? Where were you?
I was born and raised in Delaware, Newark, Delaware. So, like, that's kind of my roots.
Newark, Delaware?
Yeah, Newark, Delaware. It's where the college is. University of Delaware is Newark, Delaware. So that's kind of my roots. And it's, like, right outside of Philadelphia, really. So, like, we kind of got that same Philly swag.
Yeah.
So, but that's where I was born. That's kind of where I got my start. And then after that, I moved to Florida, Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Okay.
Which is just a little north of, like, West Palm.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of turned into a man. That's where I learned how to be a man, really.
How old were you when you moved?
I was 13.
Okay.
I was 13. That's why I really got, that's why I got my hustle. Because at 13 years old, I started cutting hair.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, I've seen your work.
Yeah, I started cutting hair. So, like, at 13 years old, I moved to Florida. I ain't had nobody cut my hair. So, me and my brother started cutting hair. So by 14, I had a full business out of my mother's garage, hustling. I was making money. I was getting paid. So like that's how I started. That's how I learned how to hustle.
Okay.
So then right after high school, I got out of high school, and I wanted to go play football, but I got in trouble. I got a little fight. A little girl. You know, when you're 17 years old, you get a little, you know, little girl. You in love. It's the one. It's the one. You know. Yeah. It's the one. You know what I'm saying? So I got in a little trouble. I couldn't leave. And then that was the same time I saw the UFC. And I said, I got to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got to learn how to do this. And that was it. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of them things. Like, once you know in your heart, it's what you are. So, like I said, I saw it one UFC.
Yep.
I got to learn how to do this. And from that moment on, I never turned back. Black Belt Magazine, I was in Black Belt Magazine. I used to buy them, looking up seminars. First seminar, I drove to Charlotte, North Carolina, a two-day seminar with Hicks and Gracie.
Oh.
I slept in the car. This is the passion. Because yeah. Jiu-Jitsu was nothing.
Yeah.
But I just knew I wanted to learn how to do it. So I slept in the car. Two-day seminar, Hicks and Gracie. After that, Half Gracie, Hoist Gracie, you know.
Any Gracie.
Any Gracie. Yeah. And then I branched out. Marco Huas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I met Alex Davis, the famed
yeah.
Alex Davis. Everybody know Alex Davis. If you're in the game, the Brazilian liaison. Yeah. I met Alex Davis back in the 90s. And then he got me in America Top Team later on. That comes a little bit later.
Yep.
But you know, I learned on my own. You know, I'll come from the old school where like me, Pat Miletich, Jeremy Horn, we all learned this stuff on our own. Really, you know, we didn't have the opportunities like the guys today have. The guys today, you know, you go up into a school and be like, yeah, I want to train. How much is it? You know what I'm saying? And they negotiating and bargaining. You know, how much is it? It wasn't like that back in the day. Back in the day, we had to learn on our own. We had to buy the little videos, the VHS. We had the Hanzo Gracie, Craig Kukoc videos.
Yep, yep.
The Mario Sperry.
Yep.
The DVD, or not the even DVD, VHA, the Zen Marios. Yep. Yeah, I had all of them.
Got all of
them? Yeah, all of them.
So now I'm going through your what is it, your 35 fight career, and looking at some of the luminaries, some of the names on your list. You heel hooked Mr. Jens Pulver, who was considered to be the greatest lightweight of his era.
Yeah, you know, that was a good fight for me. Well,
I'd say so.
That was probably...
Not so good for Jets.
No. You know what? And, like, you know, that was kind of like... It was such a good fight for me, but it was kind of also the downfall of my career, really. To be honest with you. Let me tell you why. I knew I could beat him.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was so cookie cutter at the time.
Yeah.
And, like... For me, I was so creative with my style, you know, like, and I knew that if I could just create some opportunities, I could catch him, because I knew I could catch anybody if you give me that one time. I may not have been a better fighter than him, but I knew I could catch him if I get the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I made the opportunity happen. I had a couple opportunities in the fight, and I made it happen, and I beat him. But the problem, why I say it was kind of the downfall of my career, because it was so early in my career to experience that.
Okay.
They're like, I really had nowhere to go. You know, it was like, to me, he was like, and like, I never fought for money. It was always about being the best. And at the time, he was the best. And for me to beat him at that time was like, wow, you know, now what?
Now
it was just kind of like, you know, then the whole game changed and money got involved. And then I lost my motivation at times. But like I said, but like, I always could always fall back on that experience of beating the number one guy in the world.
Yep.
So like, to me, that kind of ruined me in a sense, my mentality of going, you know, I really got nothing else to prove. I beat the best guy in the world.
Yep.
So, kind of ruined me a little bit.
That's interesting. Now, as a coach now, because you've transitioned very, you know, illustrious pro fight career, you've transitioned into more of the coaching role, which is amazing that you can give back. You're here with Thiago Pitbull Alves, helping out a little bit with Nick Lentz, helping out a little bit with Marcel. I mean, all the ATT guys you're a part of for sure, but you're here assigned to Thiago. Now, having the experience that you do as an athlete, you're not far removed from your professional career. I mean, you're all but, what?
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years away from, you know, fighting as professional. I mean, you could lace them up again.
Yeah. I still get down.
I see you get down. You get down. Tried to kick my ass in the lobby earlier.
I try.
Over a cup of coffee, but we'll talk about that later. How do you feel your ability to translate your experiences to the younger guys, the up-and-coming guys now?
Oh, well, here's the thing. You know, these young guys, You know,
they're talking like old ass men.
We are. You know what I'm saying? Like now they 20 years old, you know, 20, 25 years old. And these young guys think they done seen it all.
Yeah.
But like you said, I'm not that far removed. And I seen it all. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I seen it all and more because I came up in a different time where we didn't have nothing. I came up in a time we didn't, you was lucky to get flown around, really. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And to make money. Like, you know, some of these guys complain about the money or they ain't getting enough or sponsors and whatever have you. But we didn't have that. We fought for the love. So, like, I seen it all.
Yeah.
So, like, and not only from a business perspective, when it comes to the fight itself, I seen it all.
Yeah.
You know, I seen, you know, they complain about little things, the locker room, or the hand wrap, whatever. I seen it all.
Yeah.
And I'm there to tell them firsthand, it doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter. What matters is how you perform.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the experience I can give to these guys. And I keep them level-headed because, you know, I don't let the guys I work with come up, create these excuses to have bad performances.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell, and I'm there to just let them know that, hey, none of that matters. I've been there. I know what you talk about. But I'm here to tell you, I've been there, I've done it, and I messed up too. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not saying that I'm better than them, that I've been through it and I was able to overcome it. I'm saying that I've seen it, and now I can tell you from experience that a lot of stuff that you're complaining about doesn't matter. Yeah. You need to get out there and get the job done.
That's it, and that's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, you know, a lot of people who listen to this podcast, we have, you know, like 50% MMA audience and then 50% health and fitness, people that don't really know almost anything about MMA. So what I try and get into is the unifying factors in everybody's life. And that really comes down to goal setting. It comes down to motivation. It comes down to hard work. It comes down to being accountable. If you're a stockbroker, if you're a barista, or if you're a professional fighter, it's all the same thing. We all got to get out of bed. We got to grind. We got to set goals. We got to move forward towards those goals. And we have to eliminate the excuses that people make. And I, in my business, I come across so many people that, you know, they're 40, 60, 80 pounds overweight, and they're making excuses for why. Well, I don't like drinking water. But what else can I drink instead? You know, what can I eat instead of spinach? What can I eat instead of, you know, fish? It's always excuse after excuse. And you're looking at this person who's so far removed from their goals that they've made a decision, an unconscious decision, that they're never going to achieve their goals. And you see that a lot with athletes, super talented athletes that keep putting these obstacles, self-induced obstacles in front of themselves that limits their ability to succeed. And, you know, Thiago was one, and he's been very open about his story, how he wasn't living the life of the full-time life of a professional fighter. And he had a tremendous amount of success based upon raw talent. But he was not doing the right things outside of the training room and outside of the competition ring that would set him up to succeed. So he wasn't on that path to success. He just kind of would stumble upon that path every so often, and then he'd kind of fall off the road again. So to see what Thiago's been able to implement in his outside life, he doesn't train any differently per se, but he's able to get more out of his training and train more consistently because of the way he structured his outside life. And one of those things is bringing in a guy like you. You know, I've seen the way Thiago looks at the overall fight now, looks about at the game, and breaks down the opponent instead of just going in there and fighting kind of the way he had in the past. Now there's much more intelligence behind what he does, and that segues into what you do specifically. And I think you've kind of created a niche that nobody else in the MMA world is even thought of. And you know, not many people are taking advantage of it yet because they might not understand exactly what you do. And even me, like, I was like, what is this? And then we had a conversation. You broke down what you're doing now. So let me hear a little bit about that, or share that with everyone listening. What are you doing right now?
Well, let me rewind a little bit because you done touched on a couple of things.
A lot of things,
but I'm going to get to that. But first, let me just say this. Thiago Alves, man, and I'm just happy to be here, man, especially with Thiago, because I watched his career through it all.
Yeah.
I remember when he first joined the team, he didn't speak no English. He was at Laborio's house. The first time I saw him, he was laying on Laborio's floor. He was a young kid. He was laying on Laborio's floor. Then I remember, you know, I left. Me and Laborio might have went out, kicked it, and then we came back. It was nighttime, and he was in the little porch, and Laborio had a heavy bag hanging from the tree, and Thiago was out there just throwing his little front kicks on it. Pow! Bow, bow. And I was like, oh, this kid, you know, he's going to be pretty good one day.
Yeah.
And I watched his career. I watched him go from AFC back in South Florida to UFC and fight for the title. And And for him, for us to be back where we started, you know what I'm saying, is special for me because I watched him go. And for him to come back and ask me, he came to me and said, hey, man, I need some help.
Yeah.
And that was special to me. But back to what you were saying, what I do is I break down fights. And that's one thing that I think I do best is not, you know, a lot of guys watch film, but they don't watch film the way I do. I watch film for a lot of different things. I watch film to pick up certain tendencies, not just to see what type of fighter a person is, because you can get that by watching, you know, kind of one or two fights.
Yeah.
But I try to watch everything to pick up certain tendencies because bad habits are hard to break. Good habits are hard to break.
Yeah.
You could be good, but if you're doing the same thing, that's a habit.
Yeah.
That's hard to break. So you could prepare for that. So I watch a lot of film from as far back as I could go to find habits. Because even if a guy's doing one thing and he's doing it good and he's been doing it 10 years ago, there's a good chance he ain't changed. He's going to do it now.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of that. Also, what I do is when I'm working with guys specifically, I try to get the best performance out of them. And as you were saying, in any industry that you're working with, it's all the same. And it is all the same, whether it's fitness, sports, any type of performance. I try to get the best performance out of a person. You know, I'm one of my son's best coaches when it comes to soccer. I'm self-proclaimed one of his best coaches.
Yeah, of course.
But it's because I'm a coach and I try to get a good performance out of him.
Yep.
Because I don't allow him to make excuses. I don't know anything about soccer.
Yep.
Except for what I see on YouTube. But I know how to break him down and go, the guy in the video didn't do it this way.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it this way. He didn't kick the ball with his toes. You're not going to kick the ball with his toes. You know what I'm saying? So my goal is to be able to look at somebody, break them down, and say, all right, this is what you need to do to improve. And it can all be done by breaking somebody down. So whether I'm breaking down an opponent, and not only do I break down opponents, I also break down fighters. I actually did that for Nick Lentz. A few months back, you know, one of his main coaches, Roger Craw, came to me and said, hey, if you can watch Nick and tell us what you think he's lacking on, broke him down, said, hey, man, listen, these are your weaknesses, these are your strengths. If these are your strengths, other guys might know that too, so you might want to make some adjustments on how you focus on exploiting your strengths. If these are your weaknesses, you need to fix them right away because other people are going to see that.
Yep.
So I worked with Nick on that a few months ago, now back in his corner, on Saturday.
Yeah. And what do you present? Because I've seen the packet that you present to the athletes. So it's not just a conversation. You give them hard data that they can actually look at. They can share the videos with their coaches. And you come down with a bullet point list. So what do people get actually when they are working with you?
Well, I do a written. It comes out to about 7 or 8 pages. And I got to give my man, Rolly Delgado, out of Westside MMA in Arkansas, came up with the little bullet points, like you said, and it's just a bunch of stuff, offensive, defensive, from different positions, top, bottom, and it just breaks them down, and I tell everybody what they're strong at. If I'm doing it for them, I tell them I call it an MRI.
Okay.
An MRI. You know, you go to the doctor, they look at you, check you out.
Yep.
That's what I call it, an MRI. So I let you know, if you're weak or if your jab is weak, I'm going to tell you.
Yep.
And then when I do the video breakdown, I'm going to show you. So it's not just me making it up. And I'm going to show you with hard data, like you said. And I'm going to show you from different fights. Not just one fight.
Yep.
Because, you know, you might have made a mistake in one fight. But if you did it in 3 fights, you got a weak jab in 3 fights. Guess what? You probably got a weak jab.
Yeah.
You know, so I show you in different fights of, you know, of the type of moves that you do, your type of sequencing, the type of gripping, all that different stuff. And nobody really does that because it's time consuming. But for me, I like doing it. And it's helped me as a coach, too, because now I know certain tendencies and certain type of fighters, and when I'm working with people, I can see what other guys are doing to beat that. So it's helped me as a fighter.
That's awesome.
Or as a coach.
And you say you don't like doing that. Well, you know what else people don't like doing?
What's that?
Clothes shopping.
Clothes shopping.
Clothes shopping.
Clothes shopping.
Shopping for clothes is a nightmare, Dean Thomas. But jackthreads.com/Dolce is a stress-free clothes shopping experience where you don't have to deal with the hassle of crowds and malls. Did you know that?
What's it called again?
Jackthreads.com/Dolce.
Jackthreads.com/Dolce. I need to get up on that because I hate going shopping for clothes, man.
I'm looking at you. You're like me. We're wearing free shirts, free shoes.
Free shoes.
Probably some shorts that we got at the Goodwill.
For sure. Because I got bleach stains in these shirts. I need... to go to Jack Threads.
I got these are not camo shorts. These are coffee stained shorts. These used to be they
used to be khaki.
Right? So jackthreads.com, they have a curated selection, brands you've heard of, brands you'll want to hear about, exclusive collaborations that you just can't find anywhere else. Guys like us, we are busy. And people listening to this show, you are busy. Ladies, if your man looks like a hot mess, go to jackthreads.com/Dolce and hook him up. This is a site for men that want to look fly, but don't want to look like they're trying to look fly. Don't worry, it's not one of those fancy pants sites. What else? There are great values there. Jackthreads.com/Dolce knows what it means to be cool and stylish, but isn't intimidating or elitist, because I hate that. I hate walking into the mall, and I walk in looking like I'm about to rob the place, and I don't get any attention. I got money in my pocket. I need to buy a shirt.
For sure.
I need to look good for that one night a year that I need to look good.
For sure. And you can get it from jackthreads.com/Dolce.
Yes, you can.
And I definitely need to go check that out before I leave here because I need to go shopping. And I hate going to the mall.
I hate going to the fucking mall.
The lines. It's just so much easier.
And there's like online. Professional shoppers, those little 115-pound ladies that run around, know exactly what the fuck they're doing, cut me off, push me out of the way, get all their shit, get all the deals. And I'm just standing there like blood sugar dropping to my toes. I got to eat something. I start sweating. I got to hydrate. I got to grab a coffee. I got to like mentally recoup and then fuck it. I got to get out of here. And I go home and I don't buy anything. I look like a mess. So everybody listening, you too, Mr. Dean Thomas.
For sure.
Go to jackthreads.com/Dolce and save 15% off anything and everything you buy by entering coupon code Dolce at checkout. This is on top of jackthreads.com/Dolce. It's already great prices. Repeat. Boop, boop, boop. And I think that's it. So, that is a very natural conversation Mr. Dean Thomas and I are having about clothes shopping in the middle of our M&A talk. But, you know, I have gone on the site. The site is awesome. I've ordered some stuff off the site. It's really easy. It's as easy as going to Amazon. They got some cool shit there. They got, like, Mophies for your iPhone. It's fucking cheaper. I had to stand in line at the Apple store. I spent $129. I got the same exact thing. Took it back to Apple. My wife did it anyway. Got it, the same exact thing off of jackthreads.com/Dolce for $99. And that's the Mophie I got on my phone right now. Here it is.
Well, you know why this is more important than anything else? Because time is money.
Time is money.
We were just talking about that. Time is money. Yep. I don't got time to go shopping.
No.
It's so much easier to just do it online.
Do it online. It gets shipped to your house.
Yeah.
You get the discount. You get free shipping on certain orders. And that's, I mean, fuck, man. That's living at Pitbull's every day, he got a shipment from, you know, an online site. Could have been jackthreads.com/Dolce.
And what's better than, like, when you come home and there's a box waiting for you? I love that. Like, I don't even know what it is at the time. I'm like, what I get today? It's like Christmas.
And if you order it, guess what? You're going to like it.
Yeah, because you ordered it.
It's not a pair of socks your mom sent you.
Oh, man, for sure. I'm definitely going on there.
So, jumping back in, you know, I'm going through your fight career. You got wins over, I mean, former world champions. You got wins over some of the best fighters in the world. And then you've taken that, you've parlayed it into an amazing career as a coach that's really just taking off full time. But also, as people might not be able to tell, you're a comedian.
Yeah, man, I do. Not stand-up. It's not really stand-up, it's improv. People confuse that. It's improv. You know, we do a lot of scene work. And we come off the top of the dome, and I'm in a couple of different troops down in South Florida, West Palm Beach, based at the mother troop is Mod 27, but I'm in a troop called Bananas Republic,
mm-hmm.
and Friends with Benefits, and Adult Beverage. So yeah,
God damn.
I hustle, man. But these are things that I just love to do, and that's just how I want to live my life. Like I want to live my life doing what I want,
Yeah. Not
what somebody else wants me to do.
Yeah.
And I live my life doing what I want, and you know, even if it ain't no money involved, I don't do nothing for money. I do it because I want to do it, and I'm passionate about it. And I love doing a little improv comedy. So if y'all ever in West Palm Beach, check out the show schedule on my27.com.
My27.com.
Yes.
My27.com.
Yeah. My27. And I purposely had just told all the guys, listen, I don't want to travel that much just so I can perform more.
Oh, wow.
I want to perform more.
And where do you perform mostly? You go to, like, a comedy club?
Well, we had a spot where we was performing mostly at the Bob Carter Theater in West Palm.
Okay.
But we just got a new spot.
Ooh.
Yeah, we just got a new spot on Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach. And I don't exactly even know the address. But mod27.com will have all that up.
My27.com.
Mod.
27. Mod.
Yeah.
M-O-D.
M-O-D 27.
The number 27.
Yeah, to number 27.
And then .com.
.com.
With like the little dot?
Dot.
Okay.
Dot. as in like, you know, dot com.
Dot com.
Yeah.
Period.
I can't even speak.
I know.
But dot com. But yeah, so yeah, I do that. And yeah, I try to stay out there.
I see that. The haircut. So you gave Pitbull his fly new deal.
Yeah. Oh man, let me tell you about that. Like, I gotta tell this story. Cause you wouldn't think. So, you know, I bring all my stuff. Pitbull called me up. You know, I cut his hair back in the day. Matter of fact, I used to cut his hair. I used to go to the spot where all the Brazilians used to live back at ATT.
Yep.
We called it Big Brother. I used to try to go over there. I used to cut all their hair and bring little second grade books to try to teach them English. Yep. Yeah, I helped them dudes learn English.
Oh, wow.
But, so, yeah, so he asked me to cut it. He said, hey, man, bring your stuff. Cut my hair. So I brought my stuff. We go up to the room. I plug the clippers in. And, man, I didn't even get to turn it. It didn't even turn on all the way. I just, like, touched the knob, and I took the power out. I thought it was the whole floor. Because, yeah, I took the power out. So we called the dude. You know, Pitbull's real laid back, so he ain't stressed out. We called the dude. He came up. He said, the guy was like, oh, he turned it back on. I said, let me try this again from a different plug. Plugged it in. Boom! Bam. Took the power out. And then we couldn't get it back on.
Oh,
we couldn't get it back on for a while. And then we tried it again. He said, oh, it might be the adapter. So we put a new adapter in, tried it again. Bam, took the power out again for the third time. So finally, he had a pair like, the little edgers?
Yeah.
The kind that take batteries?
Yeah.
I cut his hair with those. I said, Pitbull, don't even worry, man. I got you. I know how to do this. I got you. And I ended up cutting his hair with the little edgers to take batteries, not even like real clippers.
Not even, your skills are strong.
Yeah, the skills are still there. You know, I don't really use them much, but they still there.
And you had like a little broken piece of big
I didn't even have a razor. I asked him, my man, you got the handle to the razor? Because you know, like the little clip on, you know, whatever it is. I said, my man, you got the handle? He said, nah, I didn't got the handle. And I was trying
to
hold it.
This was
Pitbull?
Okay.
And I was trying to hold it with my hand and not cut myself and not cut him.
Oh,
not cut us and try to clean him up with it. And it came out all right. So, you know, if y'all was watching the videos today from the open workout, y'all saw him with a cut. And I did it with the worst equipment in history. Worst equipment in history. So I got two things of cookies and a bag of Doritos in my room. But you know what? I'm not telling anybody to eat like me. As a matter of fact, I'm telling y'all not to eat like me because I didn't even want to wake up this morning. I felt so bad. I didn't want to get out of bed this morning.
Why is that?
I felt so bad because I felt bad, like, mentally and physically. I felt bad mentally because I was like, you know, I should be in better shape, you know, because I'm not in as good a shape as I want to be in.
Okay.
I said, I need to be in better shape. And then physically, I'm just, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm all right, but, like, you know, I used to be a stud, you know, so, like,
shit, you're 87 years old.
I know,
but that's what I'm saying.
But I should be better, man. And like, I need to get up on these organic cashews. You know, I think I'm gonna do better.
So
but
you got Doritos on your counter. I got organic cashews on mine.
And he got water on his thing. I forgot about that. I got a 1.5 liter of Coke on my Coca-Cola.
I was going to say.
Coca-Cola. Right. This ain't John Jones's room. Hey, this is my room.
Hey,
I got 1.5 liter of Coca-Cola on my dresser.
Shit.
Yeah.
We are in South America. Did you see King Mo downstairs?
Yeah, King Mo, man. You know, he's been clowning me for ever since we started, you know, we started kicking it.
Okay.
He thinks I'm Haitian.
Dean St. Thomas.
Yeah, he called me Dean St. Thomas. He thinks I'm Haitian. So whenever we meet people, he tells everybody I'm Haitian and that I eat mud. So we went online. No, we went online yesterday and proved to me that Haitians eat mud. So he thinks I eat mud patties. King Mo thinks I'm Haitian. He thinks and says I eat mud. And he tells everybody this.
Well, you see what he was eating?
Pizza.
Pizza.
You know, and you know what? And you know why? Because we ordered a pizza last night, and we was eating pizza last night.
So he's had eaten 3 pizzas in the last 12 hours?
Yes.
And he's still fucking ripped his shit?
Yes.
Do not follow what Mo Lawal eats. Do not follow what Dean Thomas eats. They are freaks of nature.
Nah, but I'm telling
you. I don't believe it. Yeah, I'm going to drug test you before the end of this trip.
I'm going to tell y'all like this. You know, I eat bad like that, and I never feel good. So, like, don't eat like me.
Gotcha.
Don't do it. Eat good. You know, follow the diet. I mean, but you know what, y'all? In my defense,
Brandy,
if you listening, I need you to right now pack up a Dolce diet book and ship it out to me as soon as you can so that I can get out of this funk because I need to improve my health. And Mike's been telling me he's gonna send me a book for 2 years now. And in 2 years, that's why I retired, because my diet
that's
wasn't
why
right.
I retired.
So like I need a book, you know?
Blame
so,
me.
Yeah, hook me up. Brandy, I know you out there listening. You just called in. So pack it up right now, put it by the thing. I'm gonna send you the address later. I don't want
to send it. But we sent like 8 packages to Haiti, man. What the fuck?
See what I'm talking about? This is
Mo gave me your address.
Got me. I ain't get it because I'm not Haitian, people. I'm not Haitian.
No, that's funny. Now, what is the Haitian? It's just ball busting.
Yeah, he's clowning me because when I first started, because you know I don't always used to go to American Top Team like that because I had my own academy.
Yep.
So when I first started coming in, he used to, for some reason, he just said, "Oh man, look at you. You look like you Haitian. You look like you Haitian. You and Daniel Strauss gonna start Haitian Top Team." And he just to start doing that, and then all of a sudden it just took off like a wildfire. And the next thing you know, like I think he like goes back to his room and does research on Haitians, and they just like he has all this material about Haitians. So he just, it's never ending. Like, he's got new stuff every day about, like, the Haitian culture. And he just says that I live by this. I'm like, I never even heard that before. But yeah, King Mo, y'all. King Mo. Don't trust him.
He's a smart guy, actually. People don't understand. He's an intellectual guy.
He really is. He's a lot more knowledgeable with the fight game than I thought. Like, you would see him and go, oh, he's just a wrestler.
Yeah.
But he spent a lot of time, you know, doing a lot of boxing with the Mayweathers and... He's been following MMA for a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's got a lot more information in that big milk dud head of his than I thought he would. Yeah, his head look like a milk dud. You ever see it all shiny?
It does.
Shaped like
it
a milk dud. He look like Ed Obese from Oz.
Oz. Man, that was a good show, wasn't it?
It was a great show.
Until the fucking dude bent over, fucking spread his ass cheeks and pressed him against the glass window.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I had to tune out.
You know, but I watched the last couple of episodes of that anyway, but, yeah.
It fell off at the end. It got a little...
Got a little weird. It's like sentimental. Yeah, it got a little sentimental, but, you know, you had to kind of finish it.
Wow, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, and that's... You know what, man? Like, that's what sucks, because, like, I'm a binge watcher.
Yeah, me too.
I binge watch shows, and, like, this would be a perfect opportunity to, like, being in Brazil, you know what I'm saying? We in this, whatever, Goiânia. It's an all right town, but, like, I want to binge watch, man. Yeah. I want to catch up on, like... Walking Dead and all these other shows, man. Arrow and whatever else I was watching. And I can't because the Wi-Fi here.
Wi-Fi.
Man, we need it. And the dude, you know what his excuse was? He said, it's like that in the whole country.
That ain't no excuse.
I said, I know.
Yeah.
I said, man, this is a nice hotel, man. Y'all got to do better.
And you said to the guy at the desk?
Yeah.
And they just blow it off.
You know what? He act like he ain't speak English.
Acts like he don't speak English.
Act like they don't speak English. I'm like, you can't act like you don't speak English now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm... getting on you.
So I called last night. I'm trying to get online. And I call. It's like 1 a.m. I figure 1 a.m. everybody be sleeping. I'll get better access. Nothing. Get frustrated. Call downstairs. I say, hey, you know, Wi-Fi's not working on the third floor. He says, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. I'm trying to log on. I got 3 different devices. I'm trying to log on. He goes, oh, go to, you know, K Hotel, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I'm on that one right now. He goes, yeah, it's working. I said, no, it's not working. Like, I'm getting all the bars, but there's no connectivity, and it keeps dropping the password. So what's the password? He gives me the password. I said, that's the password I have. It's not working. He said, well, it's working on my mobile phone downstairs, and he hung up on me.
See, that how they do,
that
man?
Was it. That's how
they do. Let me tell you what else they do. I think they changed the passwords on the ones, because they had told me one password for one of them, and then... Later, they gave me that password, and it worked at the time, and then later they gave me the other password.
K-Hotel 9090.
But before it was like 1 through 9 or whatever it was. I was like, hold up. I think y'all switching the passwords to try to keep everybody on their toes. So now I'll try them all. I try to get on there.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah,
all
man,
right.
This is terrible.
Mr. Dinero Thomas, I appreciate it. First one of many. I'd like to get you back on, obviously, quite a bit.
And, yeah, man, for sure.
You're going to bust out your own podcast here pretty soon. Now, you got a couple things going on. You're a radio host on ESPN?
Oh, yes. A radio host on...
Like it's a surprise.
Well, you know, it's a surprise for some people. They don't really know. On Josh Cohen and the home team.
There
so,
we
you're
go.
In South Florida, West Palm Beach area. It's 106.3.
Yeah, but we can get that online.
Yeah, you can get it on the app, ESPN app at West Palm.
West Palm.
So, yeah, ESPN West Palm.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and Tyron Woodley
are...
planet.
Tyran the One?
Tyran the Chosen One.
The Chosen One.
The Chosen
One. Is that an upgrade or it's always been Chosen
One? It's always been Chosen One. The Chosen One.
I know Woodley since the early Team Quest days.
Yes.
Where Woodley used to come out there and train a little bit. Yeah. Raw talent.
Raw talent.
Raw talent. And it's awesome to see what he's doing right now.
Yeah. He's, well, you know what? I've known Woodley since he was an amateur.
Amateur fighter?
Amateur fighter, yes. Shit. I went out to St. Louis once, and I saw him warming up in the back. Hmm. And I said, God, who is this
Who's
dude?
This?
Yeah, I said, this dude. And it was like, he wrestled at Mizzou, and he was kicking a bag or the pads. And it was he was a wrestler. And I was like, man, wow. And then you know, we just stayed up. Somehow we hooked up. He joined American Top Team. We hooked up. We still getting together these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a special athlete, you know, one-of-a-kind athlete.
Yeah.
And, you know, I expect to see him do a lot of good things.
Who's he... Who do you want him to fight next? Because you want it on his coaching staff?
Well, he, you know, he was, we were trying to get Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this game, you know what I'm saying, like, you can't really just always get who you want.
No.
You know, like, it'd be nice to get who you want. But, you know, Johnny's in a position where he can wait for the winner of Rory and Robbie.
You think Johnny can wait after the Matt Brown fight? Does that performance put Johnny in line? Let's say Thiago goes out there and finishes Condon. Do you think... Thiago goes out there, finishes the number four guy in the world. Does that put him in a farther up the line than Johnny, who decisioned a guy who was ranked, you know, well below?
See, it's weird though. You know, it's weird because like
and I'm just, you know, I'm trying to
you know what?
Analyze.
You know, for sure. You know, like honestly, if Thiago goes out and finishes, Condon, it would make sense for a guy like Thiago and Woodley to fight. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's a weird thing. So that's why I told Tyron, man, I said, you know, we got too many guys here and you can't ask for this one dude. You're in a position now where it's like, you're just going to have to kind of take who they give you.
Yeah.
You know, because they're probably not going to give you a title shot.
Yeah.
And to avoid fighting, you know, Pitbull, you know, man, just let's just get who they give you, bust them up, and then get the title shot.
Get paid.
Yeah.
Because who else is there? You look, so... Rory and Robbie, they're already matched up.
Yep.
Johnny said he's going to wait until December to fight the winner, Rory Robbie. I don't think that's going to happen.
If he waits that long, it's probably not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
You got Condit and Pitbull fighting right now. So I think that puts the number one contender, where if Johnny and Woodley fought, that's the clear number one contender.
Yeah.
Without that fight, there's no clear number one. And Alves versus Condit, that would be a more clear number one than Woodley and Johnny, who've been sitting out for a long time. And it's the fans all remember who's most relevant. They don't remember
Kelvin
versus Woodley. We remember it, but the fans
They don't remember that. And that, I mean, that wasn't a fight that really put him in a position to scream title shot.
No.
I mean, he won the fight. We had to do, but it doesn't scream title shot.
No.
He wanted Hendricks.
Yeah.
You know, but Hendricks wants to wait.
Yep.
So it's like he can't, you know, if Hendricks don't want to fight, then Hendricks just, you know, he wants to wait for the title shot. And he might be in a position to say he can do that
because
he was the champ. But who knows? Just, I mean, at the end of the day...
Who else is there? I'm thinking about the welterweight division.
But you know what? You know who's been beefing with Woodley is Ellenberger.
Ellenberger
has been... They've been going at it.
Talking shit.
They've been going at it. But you know what? I mean, again, it makes sense. It makes more sense for Ellenberger, not for Woodley.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, and I'm like, you know what? We don't really want to fight him. But, I mean, if we have to, we will. But, I mean, it doesn't really make sense.
Exactly. And who's... He's got a matchup now.
He's fighting Stephen Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and... But you know what? And, you know, all them dudes, man, 170, they're so deep, man. 1 through 20 is so deep that, like, you can't really... You know, it's not a matter of, like, getting a better guy because they're all good. It's just, like, who you kind of match up better against.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because they're all dangerous. You know, 1 through 20 is dangerous. They could beat each other.
It's funny, without, I mean, Woodley, he's got to take a step down just to fight now.
Just to fight. Yeah, he has to.
That should be a good thing because you fight, you know, well, you know, a lesser ranked guy. But let me back up. What did you guys see in Hendricks that made that matchup something Woodley wants? Because they have history, and I don't work with Hendricks anymore. Good guy, you know, whatever, but I'm probably just as good friends with Woodley that I am with Johnny. So I'm just a fan, you know, speculating on this one. What do you see with Hendricks, who's, you know, former champ, looks like he's fucking tough? You would almost think that, well, fuck, let me take out Ellenberger, finish that him, who's, he hasn't looked too great lately, friends with Jake also. let me finish this fucking dude, make it clear case to go straight to the title instead of fighting a dude like Hendricks, he's dangerous, man. Because they scrapped in college, right?
Yeah, well, the story goes is that Hendricks says that Woodley bit him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, yeah. He said that he bit him.
Bit him.
Yeah. And Woodley claims he didn't bite him. Hendricks advances and wins the wins the tournament. Yeah, so like,
so Woodley got DQ'd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like that's
real history.
Yeah, so there's history. There's history between the two. So he wanted to try to get back. You know, so now they're in a position where he can get back and some money.
Okay.
But I'm gonna tell you, it's like this. It's not necessarily what we saw in Hendricks.
Yeah.
It all comes down to like, man, like, Stephen Thompson is just as dangerous as a guy like Hendricks.
Gotcha, okay.
You know, Ellen Berger is just as dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, all these dudes coming up,
yeah,
you know, they're all dangerous, but they not all in Hendricks' spot.
Yeah.
You know, we want the guy in that spot, not to fight these guys behind him.
Yeah.
So, you know, because Hendricks is, I mean, it could be anybody in that spot. It's not necessarily Hendricks.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Hendricks and Tyron have history makes it more compelling. And yeah, that makes it, you know, a little bit more compelling, is it? You know what? Not only are you in the number one spot, you the former champ, but you also said that I bit you.
Yeah.
And I didn't bite you.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to do this. We got to do it again.
It'd be a good countdown show.
Yeah. So we hope. So hopefully, whatever happens between, you know, Rory and Robbie, I don't think that fight's gonna be all that competitive, to be honest with you.
But you think Robbie's gonna smoke him?
Yeah, okay, man. Robbie is, you know, He's a different animal these days, man. And in the gym, he's just a different breed of fighter.
Yeah, I've seen him in there. He's well prepared. He's very professional.
Yeah, he doesn't for sure. It's he punches in.
Yeah.
He gives 100%.
Yeah.
He punches out.
Yeah.
And I know but that's the thing is I know Rory does the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think they're just on different levels now. You know what I'm saying? I think there's not more many guys that are as disciplined of a fighter as Rory McDonald.
Yep.
I mean, he's very serious and takes his craft and his career very serious, but I don't think he's just on the same level of athlete as Robbie.
I agree. Rory's tough. Rory's shown that he's good, but Robbie's already beat him.
Yeah.
And Robbie just turned on the gas, turned it up a little bit, and then just smoked him.
Yeah.
And I think Robbie knows this now, and having the big brother mentality.
Yeah,
Robbie big brothers him.
You know, start and just jump on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, let's wrap this because we got a little hot tub time with the pit bull now.
Oh,
we gotta get that first cut going. So, Mr. Dean Thomas, want to thank you. It's Dean Thomas.
Yes, Dean Thomas.
At Dean Thomas.
At Dean Thomas on Twitter. At Dean Thomas. I need some followers, y'all. Y'all, 50,000, y'all. By the time this thing airs, I need 50,000 followers.
So you got 50,000 and two.
Yeah, so I want 50,000 and two. So y'all, I'm gonna follow check you. Me out, man. Yeah.
And so, you spell Din, D-I-N.
Yeah, so Dean is spelled D-I-N Thomas, D-I-N-T-H-O-M-A-S.
Din Thomas. I say Din so you people can visualize, but it's pronounced Dean.
Yeah, it's pronounced Dean. You could also see me on a couple episodes of Tough 21 too.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So check me out there. But Din at Dean Thomas on Twitter.
Why don't you tell everybody what happens at the end of the show?
So listen, I want y'all to know. No, I'm not telling you.
$5 million.
$5 million. Yeah,
take up a collection plate.
Yeah, if y'all $100 chip, y'all want 50,000, y'all chip in. We got it.
We got it. So Dean, thank you so much. This was awesome. Want to thank jackthreads.com/Dolce. Just check him out, everybody. Sign on jackthreads.com/Dolce. Promo code Dolce. Save some cash. I want to thank onnit.com/Dolce. And, you know, go fucking get your shit on point. Who's talking about them lately? Was it you?
No. Yeah,
were.
I got my alpha brain.
There you go. I should have popped that stuff right now.
Yeah, I got my alpha brain.
Really do. I'm slacking. I'm slipping because I wasn't on my alpha brain. And also check out the DolceDiet.com, our online personalized training program. You want to get 3 weeks too shredded. You want to be living lean. You want personalized meal plans, recipes, grocery lists, training programs, taught by, performed by, demonstrated by Mr. Pitbull himself, Thiago Alves. He's my special guest fighter on the DolceDiet.com in the exercise video section. We have over 200 exercises. Do you know there were over 200 exercises?
I do two.
Two. I stand up and sit down.
I stand up and lay down.
There we go. Advanced. All right, guys. Thank you so much, and be tuning back. Until next time, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom!